So tonight's shir is on Shavuos. It's a Shavuos topic, and the title is Torah, the Hammer, and the Rock. So tonight we're going to look at a couple of Gemaras related to the same pasuk about the value of Torah and various facets of Torah in order to prepare for Shavuos, which of course is the Chag that celebrates the Torah the most. So if you look in source number one, so it's a Gemara in Shabbos Peches Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, Tani debay Rabbi Shmuel, ukipatish yifotit sela, ma patish zen nechlak lakamani totos, af kol tibor vedibor shiyatza, mipia kadosh baruch hu nechlak lashivim lashonos. So the first idea that we're going to explain or analyze is this Gemara in Shabbos. So the Gemara says, in the name of the school of Rabbi Shmuel, that he quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. If you look in source number two, the pasuk is Perichav Gimel Pasuk Chav Tes, and it says, Halo Cho Devari Ka'esh Ne'um Hashem Uchafatish Yefotetz Sala. So the pasuk says that, is not my word like fire, says Hashem, and like a hammer that shatters a rock. So the Gemara, if you go back to source number one, the Gemara quotes the end of the pasuk, Uchafatish Yefotetz Sala, like a hammer that shatters the rock. And then it says, Ma Pachas Zeh Nechalak L'Kamini Tzotzos. So just like this hammer splits into many splinters or sparks, so too every dibor v'dibor, this is referring to the Aseres HaDibros, which came out of the mouth of Hashem, was split up or divided into 70 languages. So the first idea from this pasuk of in Yirmiyahu, which we're going to explore a lot throughout the shir, because there's about four gemaras or four different ideas that emerge related to Torah. But the first idea is in Shabbos Peches Amud Beis, and the first idea is that the pasuk, or the idea of the hammer splitting the rock, and we'll see if maybe vice versa, is tied to the idea that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu said any dibor by the Aseres HaDibros, so the first two dibros, so it was split up into 70, just like the rock is split or the hammer is split, so too the Dibra was split into 70 languages. So of course the question is, conceptually, what is the value, what's the idea that the Dibor of Hashem, of the Aseres HaDibros, were split into 70 languages? Only the Jews were present at the time of Har Sinai, really. So what's the concept that it was split into 70 languages? Is it a literal idea that when Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that wasn't just in Hebrew, but it was in 70 languages? Or is there a concept behind the 70 languages? So before we answer that question, let's look in there's a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos as to how to learn this idea, this mashal. So Rashi, in source number 3, he says, Ma patish mischale kasela al yado lekamini totos. So Rashi learns that the pshat is the hammer is hitting the stone, is hitting the rock. And the hammer, through hitting the rock, splits up the rock into many pieces. So the rock is the dibor, and the hammer splitting it is—it's not clear from the Gemara, but according to Rashi, the rock is really the dibor, the word of Hashem, and it's being split. And what's it being split into? It's being split into 70 languages. So Rashi's learning that way. But Tosfos argues, and he says in source number 4, "Ma pachis zeh mischalek lekama nitzotos." So he says, Hiksha Rabbeinu Shmuel. So Rabbeinu Shmuel asked, V'hakra mashma dehapatish mefotzeitz esasela. So it sounds like from the pasuk, the way Rashi was learning, that the patish, the hammer, is really hitting the rock, and it's splintering the rock. Midaloksiv v'hapatish yifotzeitzenu sela. It doesn't say in the pasuk that the hammer splits up when it hits the rock, but it sounds like from the pasuk that the hammer is hitting the rock, and the rock is being splintered. So we also see that when people hit a stone or a rock with a hammer, so typically what's destroyed or what's splintered is the stone. So he's asking a question. So he says you can't have the girsa, the version, that just like this sela, this rock, is split up into many pieces, because it doesn't say that in the Gemara. The Gemara says patish, the patish is split up. So he says the problem with that is that dibor, the dibor, which is the Torah, which is the same thing as Torah, is compared in the pasuk and in the Gemara to the hammer and not to the rock. He says bekuntres uvekuntres pirish ma patish mischalik hasela al yado. So Rashi learns it that way, that the patish is splitting up the rock, and the rock is really representative of Torah, and it's being split into the 70 languages. But he says, "Eino miyushav." This doesn't make sense. "Shadibur hu atzmo mischalik." The dibur itself is being split up. The "Anochi Hashem Elokecha" is being split up. "Ve'eino dimyon gamor." So he says it's not a good example because the patish is really more similar. The hammer is more similar to the words, whereas the sela is less similar. So Rashi's way of learning, he says, doesn't quite make sense. So he learns it the other way. "Omer Rabbeinu Tam, dekra mayri be'even hamefotzeitz barzel." So the pasuk is talking about a stone or a rock that splinters iron. "De amar b'medrash chazis maisa be'echad." So there's a medrash. It says maisa be'echad shekana sanpirin. So one person, he bought sapphire ubala bodka, and he wanted to check to see how strong the sapphire was. "Nasna al hasadan." So he put it on the block. "Vehika ala bekornos," and then he hit it with a mallet. This sapphire, "nechla kapatish v'nishbar hasadan." So what happened was the hammer itself was split, and also the block that the sapphire was on was broken, "visampirin lo zazme makomo," but the sapphire stayed in its place. So that was the sign that the sapphire was very strong and good sapphire. But you see from the medrash that it's possible there are situations where the hammer itself is split, like when the hammer is made out of iron. So he says, "hu adin ukapatish yifotit sela." So he says the same thing applies to this pasuk. "V'afa gav delo k'siv yifutzitzenu sela." So even though the pasuk itself doesn't, the wording of the pasuk implies that the rock is being hit and being splintered. So he says, "harbe psukim yesh kenyan zeh." So there's a lot of psukim like this. "Avanim shachaku mayim," the stones which the water dissolves. "Peris shachaku osan mayim," that the mayim itself is acting on the stones. "V'asu shapir." So then he goes on. He says, this is good, which we'll see this Gemara. "Da'amar v'parakama di Gidushin," in the first parak of Gidushin, "tana debe Rabbi Shmuel," it was taught the same in the name of the house of Rabbi Shmuel, "b'ni in pagabacha menuval zeh mashchei l'beis ha-medrash." If the Yetzer Hara, if you encounter the Yetzer Hara, take it to the Beis HaMedrash. "V'im even hu nimuach sh'nemar avanim shachaku mayim," and if it's a stone, it'll be dissolved by the Torah. "Perish shachaku osam mayim," the mayim will act on the stones. "V'im barzel hu mispotzitz," and if it's iron, it'll be splintered. "Perish im Yetzer Hara mischazik lov kebarzel mitzpotzitz." So if your Yetzer Hara is strong like iron, it'll be splintered. "Sh'nemar ukpatish yifotzitz sela." So he says, like the pasuk says, "Va'afal pi dahasa medame yetara lepatish v'cham medame divrei Torah lepatish ein lechush demikra echad yotze lekamat ha'amim." So he says, even though over there the Yetzer Hara is being compared to the patish, and over here Torah is being compared to the patish, but there's many reasons that emerge from one pasuk. So the basic machlokas, before we analyze the idea, the concept is, the basic machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos is how to learn the analogy. Is the analogy that the rock is being splintered and the rock really represents Torah or the word of Hashem? Or is the analogy that the patish is really the dibor, the patish is the Torah and it's made out of iron, and when you hit the rock with it, it actually splinters the iron into two? So the question is, what's the patish and what's the representation of the patish versus what's the representation of the sela? So that's the pshat of the machlokas. But the main question, aside from how you learn it, is what's the idea, of course? What's the concept that the dibor of Hashem, which is, as Tosfos says, is like Torah, is really split up, or was split up into 70 lashonos? You know, why? What can we learn from that concept, or what that idea? Okay, so the first point about Torah, it's really the Aseres HaDibros, the Diborim of Hashem. So the first point I want to make in this shir is a unique idea in Torah, which is the concept of the Shivim Lashonos. So you see that there's actually an Isser to write down the Torah in other languages, but yet the Gemara here is lauding the fact, is proud of the fact that it was split into Shivim Lashonos. So what's that idea? So the concept is that the problem with writing down the Torah into other languages is when you translate things, the ideas become distorted typically. So typically, when something's translated from any language to another language, from Hebrew to English, from any language, so what happens is that the languages capture ideas in different ways, in different manners. And Torah, of course, and Lashon HaKodesh is really the perfect language. That's why the Torah was written in Lashon HaKodesh. But when you translate it into other languages, what ends up happening is that some of the meaning and the value and the concept are lost in the translation. Translation creates a loss of concepts, and you don't get the same clarity, the same clarity of thought and ideas when you translate. So the concept over here is the opposite, that the concept that it was Nechlak L'Shivim L'Shonos is that when the Diburim were given from Hashem, so the ideas were so clear that if anybody were to approach them from any type of different background, ethnic background, with different language skills, if anybody were to approach them, they would have the same concept, exact same concept of what was trying to be conveyed by the Dibros of Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the idea is, it's a beautiful idea, but the idea of Nechlak L'Shivim L'Shonos is that idea. It's the concept that the Shivim L'Shonos are really, usually or typically, the translations to other languages creates a defect in concept. But over here, it's the opposite. The idea is that the Dibor is being split into 70 languages, meaning that one concept is being told or being expressed in the most clear manner, in a way where a lack of distortion could emerge. So that's the idea. The idea is that the Dibros of Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, were really given in such a clear manner that no person looking at it could really distort it. It would be very difficult to distort. Impossible. So that's the concept. So the first beautiful idea about tied to this pasuk is that idea, is that concept, that the potential for the word of Hashem to be as clear as that, which you don't see man being able to create something like that. Man, it's very difficult for man to create to give over an idea in one language and it be expressed clearly to other people from other backgrounds and understanding other languages to the level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to give over these concepts in that level of clarity, that level of thought. Okay, so that's really the first idea. The second idea, which was mentioned by Tosfos, and we'll see Rashi brings it down in the Torah, about Torah itself, is in source number 5. So it says, Menohani Mili. So the Gemara says, where do you know that you can learn out one idea, you can learn out two ideas from one pasuk, but you can't learn out one idea from two pasukim. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, it's verse number 5, it's Sanhedrin, Daf, Lamed, Dalet, Amad Aleph. Amar Abaye, Damar Kra. So Abaye said, the pasuk says, Achas, Diber, Elokim, Shtaim, Zushamati, Ki, Oz, Lelokim. So the pasuk says that one thing Hashem spoke, and two, I heard, because the strength belongs to Hashem. So Rashi over there, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, and Rashi in source number 6 says, Achas diber elokim shtayim zushamati, aval shtayim lo diber elokim lishmo achas, but Hashem, he doesn't say two things in order to understand one idea. But so you can learn out one idea from one pasuk, or you can learn out two ideas from one pasuk, but you can't learn out one idea from two pasukim. So it says, Mikra echad yotze lekama ta'amim, ve'ein tam echad yotze, Yotze mikama mikraos. So you can have one pasuk teach many ideas, many reasons, but you can't have one reason, one idea emerge from many psukim. So it says, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. So once again, it's the same shita. Debei Rabbi Shmuel taught, Ukapatish yefotze tsela. Like the hammer that hits the rock, Ma patish ze mischalek lekama nitzotos, af mikra echad yotze lekama ta'amim. So just like the hammer, we're going to go with Tosfos. Just like the hammer splits into many different splinters, so too the Torah itself, the Psukim, can be split up into many reasons. So now we see a different application of the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The first application was tied to the Aseret HaDibros, and it was talking about the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over the first two Dibros, that they were given over in a way where they were so clear that anybody approaching them or anybody trying to understand them would not have any distortion, there would be no distortion available, or that could, you know, be produced through the idea itself, through the Dibor itself. Whereas this Gemara is talking about Torah, and it's saying that we learn out that just as the hammer that hits the rock is splinters, and so too the psukim and the Torah itself can be splintered into many different ideas, many different thoughts. Okay, so Rashi, so what is the relevance of that concept, and what's the importance, the philosophical idea behind that concept? So there's two different approaches. Rashi, he brings it down one time in the Torah, thanks to the Bar Ilan CD, you know, it helps out a little bit with this. So Rashi brings it down, but we've definitely done this before in Shir. So Rashi in source number 7 really brings down this idea of that one pasuk can be split up into many ideas in Shmos Perek Vav, And it's source number 7. It says, V'gam HaKimosi. So the way that the Medrash approaches it is that Moshe is being criticized. It's in the beginning of an era, because he's... So let's look at Rashi. It says, K'shbikesh Avraham likbor esarah lo matza kever ad shekana bedamim merubim. So Hashem says to Moshe that when Avraham was searching for a burial place for Sarah, he had to pay a lot of money. V'chein b'Yitzchak iru alav ha-be'eros asher chafar. And so too by Yitzchak, the Plishtim were contested the wells that he had dug. V'chein b'Yaakov, and so too by Yaakov, v'yiken eschalkasa sedel in Tosolo. He had to purchase a part of the field in order to establish his tent. V'lo hirhuru achar midosi. So even though they had to pay for stuff, and it wasn't so easy for them, they never questioned Hashem's characteristics, his midos. V'ata amarta lama harayosa, and you, Moshe, are criticizing Hashem for causing the Jewish people pain by making them work harder. So Rashi's learning that the Pasuk is teaching us that Hashem was criticizing Moshe, that Moshe didn't have a right to complain about the midos of Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Ve'ena midrash misyashiv achar mikra mipnei kama dvarim. So now Rashi breaks it down, and he says the psukim really clash supremely with the pshat for many reasons. Achas, one thing, shalom nemar ushmi Hashem lo shaluli. It doesn't say that they didn't ask me for the name of Hashem. Vim tomar lo hodiyim shekach shmo. So if you want to say that Hashem never revealed his name to the avos, Hare tchila kishenigla l'avram bein abesarim nemar ani Hashem asher tisicha mor kasdim. There are many psukim that show that Hashem revealed his name to the avos. So he says, heich ve'od heichi smicha, how can they attach nimsheches bidvarim shu somech lekan v'gamani shamati lachenim or levnei Yisrael? And so too the psukim after this don't seem to indicate a criticism of Moshe, but they seem to indicate the idea that Hashem's listening to the cries of the people and that Moshe didn't really do anything wrong by talking about Lama Hariosa. He was just trying to understand the grand plan. So Rashi says that the Medrash, which is critical of Moshe, is really not in line at all with the Pshat, with the context of the Pshat, nor the Pshat itself. So he says at the end, L'chach ani omer yisyashiv ha-mikra al-pshuto, davar dibor al-ofnov. So Rashi says that you should learn the Pasuk like the Pshat. The Hadrasha Tidrosh, but then there's the Drasha, the Medrash, and that you can expound. Shenamar, Halo Ko Devari Ka'eshnu Masham, Ukapatish Yefotitz Sala. So he quotes the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu, Mischalek Es Lekama Nitzotos. So Torah really, it really splinters into many different sparks or many different splinters. So Rashi is showing you, Rashi quotes our Gemara in Sanhedrin, and he says that even though there's a tremendous problem with the drasha, with the chazal, nevertheless, and the pshat really makes more sense, so nevertheless, he says that the Torah can be split up into many different reasons. So what is Rashi showing you through this concept, or what is the concept according to Rashi? So it seems like he's saying that the idea of Torah, or the way Torah was written, was that you can even have an idea emerge from a far distance from pshat. Even if the pshat will reject the idea, conceptually Rashi says, oh, the pshat is really against, it's really a soser, the drasha. But you see that from the Torah itself, the idea of mischalekes lekama nitzotos is that even something as far as extreme from the pshat as this, as what Rashi is showing you in the Chazal, can still exist, can coexist with the pshat, and can still teach you truth, and can still teach you an idea. And that's the beauty of Torah. That's what Rashi is showing you. The beauty of Torah is that you can start with pshat, and you can go to something that would even question and completely contradict the context, the basic idea, but through the wording or through a specific way in which the Torah writes it, so you can derive an idea that's completely contrary to the pshat, but yet still be true. So what other book do you have like that? Where do you have, you know, a man-made system? It's you can't have, and through a man-made system, you can't have a pshat and you can't have an idea emerge, a true idea emerge, that's so distinct and so contrary to the pshat. But over here, the idea that the Medrash, or at least the Gemara, is trying to show you is that the beauty of the perfection of Torah is that you're capable of deriving an idea and the truth from something that's far distant from the pshat, even contradictory to the pshat itself. And Rashi doesn't reject it. He says the idea is true, there's a concept there, but even though the pshat goes against it, there's still a concept. So that's beautiful, that's an idea. very interesting insight into the Torah, but it's the same pasuk. So first, the pasuk taught us about the Aseres HaDibros, that the Dibros of Hashem were done in such a way where they were completely clear and they lacked any distortion or any potential for distortion. And then the second idea is the Torah itself, that the Torah presents us with the capability of learning truths from something as far away as this example in Rashi, something so far away from the Pshat that it should be rejected, but nevertheless the Torah gives us the capability of learning truths that are distant from the Pshat. So that's the idea. So one other point on this Gemara is in source number 8. So the Daf al Daf on Sanhedrin, which is one of the footnotes, I don't know who he's quoting here, but he has an interesting idea. It's more of like a gematria idea. But he says, Umashikas of ma patish ze mischalik. So he has a different way of learning it. He says the patish, the hammer, is split up. Nearly, he says, Besyata Dishmai Nakit Patish Osios Peshin Tasyud Behefech Asavan. So he says that Hashem, when he chose the word patish, he did it because it's the same word or the same letters as Pshat, as a Peshin Tasyud, which is the opposite, Rotzen Lomar, meaning to say, Lomi Baya Chelek HaRemez, O HaDrash, Yotze L'chama Kalakim, O Fanim Shonim, Elagam Chelek HaPshati, Shebe Mikra, Yotze L'chama Ta'amim. So he wants to learn that the Pshat itself, the Chiddush over here of this Gemara, is not that Sod and Remez can emerge and can have many different ideas that emerge from them, but even the Pshat itself, there are different ways to learn the Torah, there are different ways to read the Pshat. So he's saying that the Chiddush of the Gemara is that even within the framework of Pshat, the Torah was written in a way where it could be understood on a Pshat level in many different ways. So that's what the Daf al Daf wants to learn, but he uses an interesting method. He just says that the idea of Patish, if you turn the letters around, it's Pshat. So he says there's an idea there. The concept is that it's not just Remez, it's not just Sod, but it's the concept of the Pshat, the literal meaning of the Torah. Even that could be understood in many ways, and many ideas can emerge from just the Pshat alone. Okay, so we have two different points in this part, but there's Rashi, and there's really the Daf al Daf quoting, I'm not sure who he quotes, but there Rashi's saying that the beauty of Torah is that it was written in a way where a truth can emerge even far distant from Pshat, even in a manner where it contradicts the Pshat. And the Daf al Daf is saying, no, the Chiddush over here is that the Pshat itself, that even in the literal idea of Torah, it was written in a way where it could be understood in many different ways. Okay. So now we get to, there's two more Gemaras on the same Pasuk, and then I think there's one unified idea, hopefully, at the end. So if you look in source number 9, it's in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, and it says as follows, Tana Debei Rav Yishmael, same house of Ravi Shmuel, school of Ravi Shmuel. So he taught, Im paga b'cha menuval zeh. So if you encounter this wretched, repulsive thing, what is it? Look at Rashi in source number 10 on the next page, menuval zeh yetzer hara. So if you encounter yetzer hara, so what do? So mashcheu l'beis ha-medrash, you drag it to the beis ha-medrash. Im evan hu, so if it's a stone, nimoach, so the stone will dissolve. Im barzel hu, mispotzitz, and if it's made out of iron, this yetzer hara, it will be splintered. It'll break up. Im evan huni muach. So where do you know this from? So if it's a stone, it'll be dissolved. Dechsev hoy kolt samei lechulamayim. So anybody who's thirsty should go drink water. Uchsev avanim shachaku mayim. And it also says that the water will dissolve the stones. Im barzel hu mispotzitz, and if it's made out of iron, it'll be splintered. Dechsev halo kodvari ka'esh nu mashem ukpatish yifotzitz sala. So again, the same pasuk, but it teaches you a different idea. So what's the idea? The concept is that when you're encountering your yetzer hara, your evil inclination, so what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take it to the Beis Medrash, and he says there's two types of situations that you're going to encounter. One is if it's a stone, and the other one is if it's barzel, if it's hard like barzel. So what's this analogy? What's the concept here about Torah? So if you look in the Daf al Daf again, on source number 11, so he quotes the Gra in Mishlei. So he kind of explains the idea here. We'll have to expound on it. But he says like this, Ki yeshno la'adam shnei sugei yetzer hara. There's two elements, or there's two concepts in the yetzer hara. Yetzer hara shel taiva, the yetzer hara shel ka'as. There's a yetzer hara of taiva, of lust, and desire, and there's the Yetzer Hara of anger. So those are the two main drives, evil inclination drives of man, the idea of lust and desire, and the idea of anger. Shel taiva meruma is b'mayim. So taiva is, there's a remez to taiva, the idea of desire in water. And in the brackets it says, because water sprouts, it sprouts things. It creates, it allows plants to sprout. So too, the taiva is the main source of the yetzara because it causes other things to sprout from it, other types of desires. Ve'esh hu koach ha-ka-suni. And fire is really a representation of anger, which is pretty clear because anger is similar to fire. So it says, ukenegdam yeshna b'torah, gam kein shnei kocho elu. Levatel koach ha-kas, levatel koach ha-taiva. So Torah has elements within it that take on these two Yetzer Hara elements, these two Yetzer Hara drives. He says, V'nikra koach hata'avani evan, shehu mitamtem es libo ke'evan. So he compares the idea of desire, the concept of the taiva, to an evan, to a stone, which defiles or degrades the person's heart, like an evan. V'nakat shehu nimuach la'at la'at, ki kasha l'isgabralov. So he says that it dissolves, but it doesn't dissolve right away. Rather, it's a very slow process. Why? Because it's very difficult to be meskaber, to succeed over your yetzer hara of taiva, because taiva is the strongest drive. Shari nitzrachul yeshuvo shel olam, aval, it's necessary for the world to continue to exist. Aval yetzer hara shel kas, mitzpotzeitz miyad al yedei ha'esh shel Torah. But the yetzer hara of kas, which is barzel, which is iron, it ends up being destroyed right away by Torah itself. So the grus, the grub in Mishlei. So the grus says, what's the value? What's the Gemara trying to teach about Torah? What's its value? So it's its values encountering the two elements of the yetzer hara, taiva, and really the idea of kas. So the concept of taiva is that it's such a strong drive that the Torah, when you start learning Torah, so it gradually, slowly drags down the taiva because you're involved in other areas and you're able to remove your energy from the taiva. But the kas, he's saying, the Torah itself destroys immediately. And I think the idea of kas being destroyed immediately, why is that the case? What's the difference between the two? So the difference is that by kas, so kas is the idea that the world doesn't conform to your will, to your desires. And you get angry because you want the world to conform, but it's not. Reality doesn't conform to your desires and your wants and your needs. And the idea is when you learn Torah, the idea is that it breaks down your kas, because really Torah is really ultimately truth and reality, and it's a reality beyond, you know, the human being. And when he encounters it, when he starts learning it, it breaks down his kas, because now he's involved, engaged in the reality of Torah, the true reality, not the reality that he wants to conform to his will. So that really breaks down the kas directly, whereas by taiva, he's saying taiva is very strong, and when you're engaged in taiva, or when you have the desires of taiva, you need to go to the base measures. It means that learning Torah can gradually eliminate or decrease your desire, your taiva desire. So it's a nice idea that Gra is expressing, but again, we see the value of Torah. The first idea was that we saw that Torah, or the idea of the Dibors, is that they're the clarity. The second is that the Torah was written in a perfected way. It's clear that Hashem wrote it in a way where so many ideas can emerge from it, even, you know, far-fetched ideas. And then we see that Torah acts as an antidote to certain evil inclinations to the Yetzer Hara. And then finally, in this one more point, and then we'll go to the last idea, is the Pnei Yoshua. So the Pnei Yoshua was one of the Mefarshim on the Gemara, and he has a different approach, which is kind of what I was thinking of. So if you look in source number 12, he says, Lefi, if you look towards the end of the source of the line, the first line, Lefi she yetzer hara nikra evan. So the yetzer hara is called evan. Dichsiv asirosius leva evan mibisarchem. I'm going to remove the stone of your heart from your flesh. V'nikra gamkin barzel. It's also called barzel. Dichsiv hayaro barzel barzel mitzafon v'yetzer hara nikra tzafon. Dichsiv esatzfoni archik malechem. So there's another comparison of the Yetzer Hara to barzel, to iron, and also it's compared to stones. Uchsiv nami mitzafon tiftach hara, lefisha barzel kasha yoser me'evan. So barzel is harder than evan. Kidamrinan har kasha barzel mechascho. If you have a very strong mountain, you need to use iron to break it up. Uchsiv nami kepatish yefotzeitz sala. It says like the hammer that splinters the rock. Umishum hachi ka'amar. So what's it saying? She'im ayitzer hara hu rak evan al yidei shemoshcho levis ha-medrash nimuach legamri k'mo evan. So if your yitzer hara is not that strong, it's like evan, so then if you take it to the base of medrash, it'll dissipate. Aval im yitzro misgaber alav v'nase k'mo barzel. But if your yitzer hara is very strong, oz eno nimuach al yidei Torah legamri elish mispotetz ma'at ma'at k'nirali. So he says, rather, what will happen is that your Yetzer Hara will be broken down, you know, step by step. So he says a little bit different than the Gra, but the Bnei Yeshua is saying that there's two types of Yetzer Haras. There's a strong Yetzer. He doesn't divide it in the different categories of Taiva versus Kas, but he rather says that there's one element of the Yetzer Hara, but there's two types. There's a strong Barzel, there's Evan, which is not as strong. And basically he's saying that the Torah works on each type in a different manner. With regard to your Yetzer Hara, when it's not so powerful, the Torah can just destroy it immediately, but when it is very powerful, it destroys it slowly and disintegrates it slowly. Okay, so that's one more point. And then the last idea is in source number 13. So in source number 13, it says like this, the Amar of Ashi, Kol Talmud Chacham She'enu Kasha Kibarzel. So any Talmud Chacham who is not hard like iron, Eino Talmud Chacham. You can't consider him a wise person, a wise man, Talmud Chacham. Shenemar, Ukipatish Yefotze Tzala, like the hammer that shatters the rock. Amar Le Rab Abba or Rab Ashi, Atun Mehasa Mas Nisula, Anan Mahacha Mas Nisula. So he said that you learn it out from that pasuk in Yirmiyahu, but we're going to learn it out from a different pasuk. Dechsiv Eretz Asher Avaneha Barzel. It says the land in which its stones are like iron. Al Tikre Avaneha Elaboneha. So if you turn the word Avaneha, stones, you can turn it into Boneha, its builders, which is a reference to Talmidei Chachamim. So Amar Avina Afilu Hachi. Even so, Mi Ba'ile Leinish Lemelof Nafshe Benichusa. So even though a person, to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to be hard like iron. So even so, when you're dealing with other people, you have to calm down. Shenemar v'haser ka'as milibecha. You have to try to remove ka'as from your heart. So on the one hand, the Gemara says, from the same pasuk that we've been quoting throughout, that a Talmud Chacham needs to be hardened. He has to harden himself and be hard like iron. But on the other hand, when he's dealing with people, and he wants to deal with people, he has to remove the ka'as. So it seems like a little bit of a contradiction. When is the Talmud Chacham supposed to be koes, be angry, and when is he not supposed to be koes? So the Meiri explains this idea, which again we'll elaborate on in source number 14. So the Meiri says, Talmud Chacham, afo pi she toroso machisoso, b'sha she roe maase bnei adam mechuarim, ro'i lo lemait b'chaso, kemashe efshar. So when a Talmud Chacham sees other people not in line with Torah, he gets angry. And it's normal, it's actually a good thing to be angry. But when he's actually talking to them, he has to try to remove his anger as much as possible. She'efshar lo ulolamdam benachas. And he has to teach them in a calm way, kedei she'yarvu devarav al shameim, so that the people integrate the words of the Talmud Chacham into their actions. V'yikablu devarav, so that they accept his words. Ukdesh lo ligrom ba'atmo shum nezek. Shnemar haser kas melibecha v'haver ra'a mibisarecha. So the Meiri says that what's this balance here and what's the idea? He says the idea is that the Talmud Chacham is supposed to be angry when he sees other people not keeping Torah. It's actually a good thing. But on the other hand, he's saying that when you're actually teaching people what to do, you can't be angry. Because if you're angry, people won't listen to you. They're just going to see some crazy nut angry man. And they're not really going to be able to listen. They're not going to be mekabel your words properly. So the advice that Rav is saying at the end, or sorry, Ravina is saying, is that you have to calm down. Just take it down a notch when you're teaching people. So he explains this contradiction. But what's the idea? What's the concept? So the concept seems to be that a Talmud Chacham, he has to identify with Torah in a way where it actually affects his emotions when he sees other people not keeping Torah. And in fact, that's the perfection. The perfection is that Torah is such an integral part of you, and you see it as such truth and such reality, to the point where if other people aren't keeping it, it actually affects your emotions internally. It makes you angry. So that's why you're not a Talmud Chacham if you don't relate to Torah in that way. It means that you could be a smart guy and you could really, you know, enjoy learning Torah, but if it's not real to you, if it's not as real to you that if you saw somebody else violating the Torah, it would have no effect on you. So it shows that you're really lacking in terms of the way you integrated Torah into your personality, into your mind. So the Chiddush that Rav Ashi is saying is that a Talmud Chacham, in order to be a Talmud Chacham, he really has to integrate Torah into his emotions and his personality to the point where it's his. And if somebody is breaking it and violating it, it actually angers him, and he feels true emotional anger. But on the other hand, his main goal, the objective, is always to teach Torah, and if the kaas affects his ability to teach, so then it's a problem. So there's a balance here. The Talmud Chacham and the perfected individual gets angry and feels internal anger, but on the other hand, he can't express it because the goal is to teach the Torah and teach it properly so that people will actually be mekabel the Torah. Okay? So that's really the idea of the Me'iri. So one final point in this year. So one final point is one of the Achronim asked some good questions in source number 15. I'm not going to read through it, but if you look through it, he basically asked the idea that anger seems to be a bad midah. It's not really praised in the Torah. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for his anger. Elisha was punished for his anger. So the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham. So it's saying, our Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to be angry. He's supposed to be hard like iron. So we can answer his questions by giving our svara. So the svara, based on the Me'iri, is that the concept of the anger is that it's not supposed to be expressed to the people. It's internal. It's an idea that the Torah, when the violation of Torah, it really affects him to the point where he feels internal anger, but it doesn't have to be expressed to the people in that way. So the flaws by Moshe and Elisha wasn't the anger per se, but it was the way that they spoke to the people, the way they expressed their emotions to the people, that was the anger. So that would be the answer based on the Me'iri's idea and our explanation of the Me'iri. But there's one other point, the Rav Moshe Feinstein, so one of the Gedolim of the past generation. So he was asked the question on this Gemara, how do you explain this Gemara? So he gives an interesting answer. In source number 6, it's, again, the Daf al Daf, so he quotes the Igros Moshe. And he says, "V'tiritzlo agon Rav Moshe b'shalos v'tshuvos Igros Moshe." So Rav Moshe answered this in his famous response to the Igros Moshe. "Shekan b'gemara ma'iri she'atamu chacham tzarech lios kasha kabarzel v'omeid al daito kishehu sover zeh la'emes l'fi adin v'halacha." So he says that a Talmud Chacham, when he learns Torah and he comes to a psak din, let's say he holds that this is really the psak. So he has to stay firm on the psak. So he says that he should be angry. So with regard to this, he should be angry if others don't want to do, you know, what he wants or what he sees as being correct according to halacha. Noach, but if he ends up being noach, if he calms down, they're going to say, people will say, that it's not because of his perfection and his character, that he should have never gotten angry, because he knew in the back of his mind that it wasn't the way that he had learned it originally. But he didn't want to give in to the idea that he made a mistake. And it'll create a lot of confusion, and it'll create a lot of problems in terms of people relying on that individual. So he says that a person should not waver. He should be strong, and his Talmud Chacham has to be strong in his psak. Because if he's not Kashuk Barzel, if he's wavering, or if he's Noach L'Ratzos, then people will say that he made a mistake originally, and they'll learn his psak differently. So that's the idea, that a Talmud Chacham has to be Kashuk Barzel. It means that when he comes to psak din, and he learns the Torah in a certain way, he has to be firm, and he has to be able to withstand the other people, because if not, if he wavers, and if he's not angry, and he calms down when other people aren't listening to him, so what ends up happening is that a distortion emerges as to what the real halacha is, what the real din is. So that's how Rav Moshe wants to learn the Medrash. Okay, so I just wanted to put the... So what's the unified idea? What's the unification of all these ideas? We have four different ideas that emerge from the same Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. One idea is the concept of the clarity of the Dibros. And the second is that the Torah was written in a way where it can express many different ideas, and we saw the extent of that. The third is that the Torah can be an antidote to the Yetzer Hara. And the fourth idea is that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to act in a certain way, when he's especially with the Torah, that he's not supposed to waver. He's supposed to be affected when Torah is violated in his presence. So, what's the main concept? So, the main concept seems to be that I think there's one main concept that really Torah is there's a permanence to the Torah itself that you don't have in a man-made system or a man-made book. And the Torah was designed in a way where it could be permanent, it could exist throughout generations. But these different elements that are expressed in the same pasuk are really elements of that permanence, meaning the idea of the clarity of the Torah, that's an idea, the clarity of the Dibros. So that's an idea that removed the idea of distortion being removed, or the potential for distortion being removed, is something that safeguards the Torah and allows its permanence to be expressed. Or the idea that the Torah was made in a way where many different ideas or reasons could emerge. So that's also necessary for the Torah to continue to evolve. Meaning you need a Torah. The Torah has to be able to produce many different ta'amim, and you have to be able to take one pasuk and have many ideas that emerge in order for the Torah to continue to live. In order for people to continue to learn the Torah, it has to keep producing ideas. So there's an infinite amount of ideas that can emerge from the Torah. And then the third idea is the Yetzer Hara, that the Torah will never be quashed by the drives of man. It has the ability to withstand the drives of man. And And finally, the last point is that the Talmud Chacham, who really holds on to the Torah and attaches himself to the Torah properly, so he's responsible for passing on the Torah from generation to generation and keeping and maintaining its permanence and its permanent nature. So I think that's the idea of the kapatei shifotei tzela, that really the main idea is that Torah is always compared to this hard substance, to the barzel, to the iron. It's really an element that's meant to be permanent, and these are different ways in which the permanence of Torah is really sustained and expressed, you know, through these different midrashim. So with that, so I want to end the shiur. So hopefully everybody has a Chag Sameach and enjoy your Yontif. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Ari.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chag Sameach. Bye.